Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are you such a mess right now?
Well, my butt, everything. I don't know. When did I start doing fitness again?
I'm so uncomfortable all the time. Here, okay.
Same, man. You asked what I was wrong with me.
Yeah. Hey, guys, by the way, welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to find out what's wrong with Brooke. What's wrong with you?
I mean,
so many things.
The list of what isn't wrong with me is shorter. But what's wrong with me is I did a day, it was just training. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been doing we train. We usually do some sort of like strength thing and then we do like either an EMOM or, you know, some sort of workout that you have, you're breathing harder.
Right.
And then sometimes I've been doing like, maybe I'll work out with you and then I might do the class Metcon or something like that. I'm going to be so honest with you guys. I will sort of cherry pick a little bit of the Naked training program.
Okay.
And that's usually because I like to do something with you and then I might do some things from my program in addition to. Because working out with people is more fun than working out
by
yourself.
It's way more fun. Yeah.
You know? I have no problem working out by myself when I am training to compete.
Right.
Because I'm just going to get my shit done. But
without having that
training, like to enjoy it, it's just more enjoyable with your buddy,
for sure,
with your best friend,
yeah,
with my homie,
I know,
with my life
same.
Partner, with my lover,
same, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the rumor. We are lovers,
but I didn't have to. We are doing the fall challenge for Naked, and they wanted me to do something on the YouTube channel before enrollment closes, and so I had Colby just like a shorter video instead of trying to like, you know, piece a little piece into another vlog and or trying to get, you know, the next one up and rolling faster. I was like, right. Let's just do a training day We'll do a shorter video. It'll come out. It'll be kind of vlog style, but really just like it's for naked, and then give a little information about the enrollment and get people psyched.
A little mini video.
What the workout entailed was, it was snatch triples, working up to, it was like percentages, but for me, I just kind of went like through my warm up and then slowly added weight, kind of just stuck with my like feel. I didn't want to like, I wasn't going to push it too much. I wanted to make sure I was, you know, really just being realistic about where I'm at, right, and how strong I am. So it was snatch triples, and then it was doing snatch pulls. And then it was dumbbell single leg RDLs with dumbbell walking lunges.
Okay. A lot of legs.
So many rounds of those things. And then the Metcon was 12-minute AMRAP. I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. 12 minutes. Yeah. Great. But the rep scheme was low enough that it was like the first 5 minutes,
you're just going,
I was doing around a minute.
Oh, geez.
And that was even with me trying to not rush it because... So it was 12 minutes of 9 wall balls, 6 overhead squats, 85 pounds, and 3 bar muscle ups.
Now, see, if I had been doing that, it would have taken a lot longer.
But so what would have taken 12 minutes?
No, I'm 12 saying minute AMRAP. It would have been taking me longer per round. Oh.
Well, yes. See, like I thought, you know.
That's where you went wrong. You're too fast.
Well, I went into it thinking like, okay, I have no idea. It's probably a package. I have no idea. I haven't done a muscle up bar or ring since before quarantine. I mean, I've just been, there was no reason for me to do it. And because it was a skill, but I've had like so much, you know, little tweaks and injuries with my shoulders. I just didn't want to get into those, you know, explosive sort of can be compromised positions if I'm just not ready for no reason.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to test those out before I do that movement in this workout. Did that. They were great.
Awesome.
Obviously my capacity in something like that for a workout would be is lower than it used to be, which is fine, but mm-hmm. I could do them and they felt good. So I was pumped on that. Then you had the overhead squats. The prescribed weight was 115 and 85. So it was 85 pounds for girls. And I just stabilizing overhead, I start to feel super imbalanced, especially when I am fatigued in my arms and mm-hmm. with my nerve stuff. And so I was a little bit hesitant, but I was like, no, I'll do the 85 pounds and I'm just going to take my time to, you know, transition to that and then just move nice and slow and controlled. And I did that. I did that for the whole, obviously 12 minutes, but I just remember after the first round going into the second, I finished the first round and I look up and it was like, 1 minute. And I was like, oh, fuck.
I got to do this 11 more times.
12 minutes? And Colby's filming. And I'm thinking like, you know, have these thoughts going through my head too. This is probably why I lost track of what number, like what round I was on. Because I'm thinking, man, he's filming. And this really isn't that complex of a workout. And you need to suck it up and don't like a total puss.
I was going
to
say, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Bitch.
But it was good, and it made my lungs burn, and I was a sweaty mess. But just like all of the leg stuff too, and then that, I remember I was trying to get out of there, and I was just like, I mean, Colby's watching me. I'm just like, ah, fuck, ugh. Like trying to like recover because my lungs were on fire.
Isn't it funny how we beat our chests too?
Dude,
to like
I just
get it
hit
back?
It.
Yeah. It's like when you hurt yourself and you roll around on the ground, like that's going to help. You never do that?
Yeah.
Oh, just drop to the ground. Just go like.
But yeah. And I, you know, as I recovered, I was, you know, you enjoy it. Like I'm proud. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt good. But at the same time too, I'm just like, man, I went to the CrossFit games.
I love you.
No, I did.
No, I know. I did,
and I did a great job.
You did a great job.
But it was fun. Yeah, it was hard. It was great.
Good.
And as I finished, I was like, Colby, that's what the people want to see. They want to see me just suffering.
Suffering. I know.
Through workouts that are like,
world out
that
there.
Are glam, like are like, fancy, because they have movements like muscle ups in them. Yeah, it was a win for me. I did muscle ups, didn't hurt myself, didn't even tear my hands. That's one thing I was worried about. I was like, I don't want to tear my hands.
You just did that recently. They're just still healing from the last time.
I get a lot of torque on the bar when I'm doing
some twerk.
Some twerk on the bar. Twerk on the bar when I'm doing bar muscle ups or like butterfly pull ups. Mm-hmm. It's almost like my hand re-grips the bar every single time. So it's just constant like sort of rubbing.
Oh yeah.
That's why I get little blisters and people would say, why don't you wear gloves? And I would. And the thing is, I didn't even think to, you know, try and find them in my storage because I'm moving. I didn't know I was doing bar muscle ups until I got to the gym. And I looked at the Metcon.
Plus now you have some battle scars, you know?
Dude, I'm you covered. Love scars. I'm covered in battle wounds. All right. Enough about me.
We have
a guest today and we're actually going to call her and we're going to Skype her. Her name is Brooke Geehan. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it. Geehan. We had talked about having her on the podcast. She was in a segment on Unwell, the show.
Yeah,
on
I was trying to remember what the name
on
of
Netflix.
It was. Yeah.
And she's our bee lady.
She's the bee lady, guys.
She has a place called the Heal Hive. And she works with bee venom. And obviously we just are going to have her share her whole personal story and what she's doing with the Heal Hive now. But a big thing that we learned about watching her episode was using bee venom for things like Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So we're really excited to have her on the podcast. We've been planning this and trying to put it together for a little while. So hopefully too, I've actually spoke with her about us going up to visit the Heal Hive.
Are we going to wear bee suits?
I hope so.
Oh, dude.
So fun.
I feel like I feel like an astronaut. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, no, there's actually gravity. You can walk just fine. And we're just over there making the sound.
Yeah. So keep an eye out on my YouTube channel. And if you guys are watching this, you're already on it. You're going to see it. If you're listening to it, follow me on YouTube. Like and subscribe, people.
Like and subscribe.
Right, we're going to call her.
We're calling her.
Let's do it.
I always like the little song. Hi.
Hi. How are you, ladies?
Great. How are you?
Good, 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 good.
Okay, so we did like a little intro for you. And I just want you to pronounce I'm going to pronounce your last name, but then correct me if I'm wrong. Geehan.
Geehan.
Oh, you were so wrong.
I was wrong. Hey,
there
that's
was only
right.
two choices.
Do people?
You made the wrong one.
Do people like mispronounce that often?
Constantly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, people mispronounce my last name too. And I'm like, it's four letters.
I know. That is weird.
You know what I mean? Like it's pretty simple and
but
it's all the time.
I have a question for you. How do I pronounce your last name?
Ents.
Ents.
Yeah. What did you think?
Ency.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, no, that's what people say. That's it. That's the go-to.
And here I'm over here like, what idiot? Sorry.
What? Yeah, no. The E is silent. Hey, but we have the same name and the same spelling.
The best name.
Oh, yeah.
You know the verb Brooke means to endure?
Stop.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Dude, I endure some stuff. I endured some stuff.
A massive, basically to endure an endurance.
Huh.
So we do have a powerful name. I'm a big fan.
That makes sense.
I'm so happy you shared that with me. I had no idea.
I don't know what my name means.
Which version of it? Gina or Gianna?
Yeah, I know.
I think if you pronounce it, it's different.
Gina is, I don't know, frightened.
Gina is...
frightened one.
Gina means to self preservation.
Self-preservation or lazy. That's probably it.
Terrified. We recently took the Enneagram test. Have you done that?
I've never done that, no. But I listened to your podcast on it.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, so you know that she's
scared. So now you know what we are.
You know she's scared of everything then.
Well, you know, it's the season. 2020 is not a season not to be scared of something.
I know.
Right?
It doesn't really help us with anxiety, does it?
No.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah. We're in a really bad place.
Okay. So we mentioned to everyone how we found you on your show on Netflix, which is so cool. And obviously we know nothing about
the
use of bee venom. And so we think that not only are we interested in learning about what you do and how you got into it, and maybe what you're doing now with Heal Hive, but I think our listeners will love it. So if you want to just take it away.
Because we can just get into, you know, all the details and we can go as scientific, or we can talk about just, you know, all the anecdotal evidence with all the people that are getting better with it. But yeah, I really credit bee venom with saving my life. And I don't mean that it just saved my life. I was literally on death's door when I found it, and I was consistently hospitalized. And right before I really delved into it, I ended up fighting for my life in the ICU from sepsis, from a Lyme treatment that basically caused my body to completely break apart. So for wow. me, the fact that I am here today, beyond healthy, super active, helping hundreds of others around the world learn about bee venom therapy. Really, every single day, I just want to pinch myself. It just seems unreal. I'm healthy and healed. And when I was at my worst with Lyme disease, I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't remember my own name. I would get lost. I had basically a version of dementia. I really didn't think that there was a future ahead. So the fact that every day that I'm here, healthy, hiking, active, with obviously, you know, somewhat of a brain.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. So yeah, and the bees are just an extraordinary medicine that is being researched all over the world for its incredible benefits. It's a powerful antibacterial. It has been shown in studies to outperform antibiotics compared to antibiotics and even layered antibiotics, like multiple antibiotics at once. It's a powerful antiviral. They're using it against HIV, against herpes. They believe that they can actually create a gel that will protect women from rape in Africa with bee venom, that it basically kills sperm while also killing HIV, which is just a game changer, right?
Wow.
What can the lady bees not do? Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah.
And then it's also a powerful chemotherapeutic agent. So Australia just announced that they did a huge research project with breast cancer, and they found that within 20 minutes, bee venom killed breast cancer cells. But not only that, it stopped the breast cancer from metastasizing by communicating to other breast cancer cells to grow. So it basically is a game changer for breast cancer. And the list goes on and on. It's also a powerful anti-inflammatory, immune modulator. It is truly, you could almost say a multi-spectrum, you know, piece of medicine we have at our hands.
Wow. That's insane.
You know what's even like
whoa.
Even more insane is how you just without us watching your show on Unwell, it's like you wouldn't hear about it.
No.
Unless like you were at a point where like that's where, you know, because you are personally going through something and you've like, you're constantly researching because nothing's working and you come across it. But it's such valuable information for people that don't even need it, but you may have someone you know that needs it or for future.
I think that is a interesting idea of why don't we know more about it? I think it speaks to a broken medical system. I think it speaks to how lobbyists are able to control, you know, the money we put into research in America. Most of the research in bee venom, including research that shows that it can reverse infertility, are being done, you know, in places that are not the United States. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the medical system here is owned and operated by pharmaceutical industries that are the ones that basically put the money behind the research dollars. So for holistic modalities that are impossible to patent, which is bee venom itself, and you can patent the different aspects of bee venom. You could take out the antibacterial, the antiviral, the chemotherapeutic. The problem is that what we've seen in many studies is that it's the actual live bee venom that actually works the best because it's full of all of these complex peptides. And I know you guys probably know a lot about peptides from, you know, especially Brooke, what you do. And peptides are very unstable and they degrade really easily. So they're very, very hard to replicate and to keep stable for people to, let's say, inject them or imbibe them in some way. So the best way of getting a bee venom therapy pretty much is through live bees. So why would any industry put so many millions of dollars that it would require? So, for example, I've calculated that it would take about $56 million for us to do FDA recognized human study on bee venom. Who's going to pay for that in America? Definitely not anyone, unless you're a philanthropist.
Yeah, no one, right. No one's going to do it unless they can capitalize on it, which you can't.
Sadly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how it is. But what we can do is encourage people to research and mm-hmm. to understand it. And we can look towards, you know, research projects outside of the states that are putting money and dollars behind bee venom. And with enough, you know, support on the ground with people that are saying, this is changing my life, you know, movements can happen. And that's what I hope to build, is a strong movement of people that are showing that this is saving their lives, working for them, and build that movement from the ground up.
How did you find out about it? I mean, we watched the show, so we kind of heard the story, but for our listeners.
Well, you know, I was, first of all, not that into this idea of bees. I was desperate. I was incredibly sick. I had been a, you know, hard-charging New Yorker with a really big life before I got sick. And so I wasn't going to mess around with holistic modalities. So I actually was first introduced to it because I ended up at a, you know, chronic illness clinic, Lyme clinic in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And a girl there had introduced me to this woman who stung people with bees. And I was desperate at the time. And I went there. And there was a lot of like feathers being waved and Palo Santo and, you know, incense. And it was all this talk about this mystic bees. And I don't disagree with her. I think bees are incredibly mystical. But at the same time, I wasn't in the right place. And then I got stung. I went deeply into some sort of, you know, I started getting hives and started feeling panicky. I don't know yet if it was because I had just come out from 6 hours of, you know, intensive IV antibacterial treatment. I was on like antibiotics and antiparasitical IVs that day. So it was probably too much for my body. I shouldn't mm-hmm. have done it to begin with. But there was no one there with like a medical degree being like, stop. You know, this is not the right way to do it. And so I was turned off by it. And I just thought, this is too woo-woo. This is crazy. Live bees. I wasn't given any of the scientific, you know, background on it. So I just dismissed it for 2 more years. I ended up basically slaughtering my savings account. I had nothing left. My veins had given up because I'd basically been on IVs just to function for 2 years at this time. And they put a port in my heart. So a port, for people who aren't familiar, is this device which they attach to your heart that allows you to get an IV therapy directly in when they can't access your veins anymore. They use it with chemotherapy and stuff mm-hmm. All the time. So I had a port put in, and my parents had flown in to help me through the recovery of the surgery. And that was a time that I had to say to my parents, well, you know, we were at a restaurant about 3 days after the surgery, and I hit them up for cash for the first time. And I said, I didn't want to tell you this, but I'm out of money. My dad is like, you know, mm-hmm. how much do you need, kid?
Right.
And I said to him, I was like, well, it depends, you know, what's going on, what the doctors think that week, that month I need. He's like, well, how much did it cost you last month? $10,000.
Oh, wow.
My parents are wealthy, and you should have seen their eyes. And my dad's like, you haven't gotten better for 2 years. Why should I pay this? This is not working. None of this is working. Right then, a nurse from the clinic walked in. And I was desperate to convince my dad. I said, Dad, that's one of the nurses from the clinic. She had really bad Lyme. She's totally fine now. She's like on her feet, working 10 hours a day. It's just a matter of time. We just have to keep going at this. Like, you know, I know that there's very few people that ever get better, but I promise you, like, I'll be the one. And my dad was like, I don't know about that. So he went marching up to her and he said, you know, I hear you work at this clinic that my daughter's going to. I haven't seen her get better. She says you got better. How did you get better? Pause, a deep pause. My dad is pretty astute, and he's like, you didn't get better from this place, did you? She's like, well, I have 3 children. I'm a single mom. They pay my health insurance. And my dad was like, how did you get better? And she's like, bee venom. And he goes, tell me about it. And so we sat with her, and she basically explained, you know, the bee venom and how she had used it to cure her chronic Lyme disease. And, you know, my father was like, why didn't you tell me about this? And I was just like, well, I tried it. It seemed weird. It didn't seem to work. She went through kind of more the scientific aspects of how it works and how you can be safe with it. And my father then asked her, he's like, well, how much does this cost? She said, well, once you learn how to do it and you go through the proper safety precautions and you know, like you're on the right program for it to support your healing, basically free. I mean, especially if you, you know, find a beekeeper. My dad said, free? He's like, that's what you're doing. It was because my dad, which I think everyone listening is like, yep, that's my dad. That's the reason. Because I ran out of money and my dad is.
Perfect. Well, it works. It yeah. works.
Thank God right. you ran out of money.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What would you say to the people that feel like, well, you shouldn't be killing the bees?
Well, most of those people never actually are beekeepers or understand bees. Mm-hmm. You speak to a beekeeper, and I've never met a beekeeper that doesn't understand what we do and doesn't support it. First of all, bee venom therapy supports beekeepers. And one of the things that a lot of people that don't really quite understand is that pesticides, Roundup use, glyphosates, kill massive amounts of bees all the time, every day. So you could have full colony collapse if you have a beehive a mile away. If one of those bees lands on a flower, picks up some of the Roundup glyphosate pesticides, brings it back to the hive, just one bee bringing that back and create colony collapse and kill 10,000 bees in one day.
Wow.
So for beekeepers to keep bee populations really healthy, they need lots of land and they need lots of that land to be organic. They need to be far away from these farms and farmlands that use glyphosate. 90% of our farmland in America uses glyphosate. So that's really hard to carve out these pure, pristine places. So, you know, with that in mind, to have healthy natural beehives, we need to support beekeepers to be able to have this land, purchase more land, and that's what bee venom therapy does. Another aspect I always say to people is you don't really understand bees until you've spent time with a beehive, but a healthy beehive loses up to 1,000 bees a day. And the queen bee actually has this amazing knowledge of how many bees don't come back to the hive per night. And so she creates the eggs of the baby bees that exactly match how many bees they lost that day. So it is a sustainable practice as long as you have a healthy hive. And there's, you know, obviously every bee that we've ever used, I've ever taught anyone to use, that, you know, people use to sting themselves. We say a prayer, we say, you know, we give our gratitude. It's truly when something saves your life and you have lived your life for sometimes years in pain and misery, just every day, having suicidal ideation, just trying your best just to get through that day. When you have a bee change your life and you're walking and talking and you have hope and you have a future again, I can guarantee you no one loves bees more than those people in which their life has been saved from bees. And they do everything to protect them, including myself.
Right.
That's so cool.
I know.
Hey.
What?
I think that bees would be good good for you as you get
Why
older.
For me?
For your memory.
I'm like, why me?
For your memory.
We had a beehive growing up.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom was, she was super, we had the smallest, like, property. I mean, it wasn't very big.
Yeah.
It was a small lot. And my mom decided that she wanted to raise bees. So she had a bee suit and she would go out there, but like everything, she would always get something and then not really know what she was doing. And so we used to make a joke that we couldn't play outside at all because there was like, there was a goat outside that would buck, you know, come up and like run you over in the backyard and a bunch of ducks. There was duck poop everywhere. And then she raised bees. So we'd get stung by the bees. So
your mom sounds awesome.
She is.
My parents' neighbors, he has a big, huge beehive and he has a YouTube channel where he's been it hasn't been on YouTube. He's been making videos and I think sharing it through his Facebook, my dad's neighbor, of his story of the beehive from like the moment he first built it and like just this whole process. And the building that he has it in, it's almost like an observatory, sort of like one side of it you can see into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So every time I come home, my dad will either, if he's uploaded a new bee video, we'll watch it, see what the bees are doing.
see where they're at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is. That's actually something I've always been interested in trying, not maybe doing it myself, but like being able to go and wear the suit.
Yeah, we want to wear the
and
suit.
And experience the bees. We were talking about how we're going to come visit you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a wine country trip in your future to come play with the bees, see them in their element. Because once you do, I'm telling you, it's something that changes you. Once you really get to know, they come back and they have these little pollen pans, they're called. So they gather pollen. They put them into these like little balls on the back of their legs and they literally look like big jawed furs. And you can see what kind of flower that they've gone to, whether they have like purple pans or white pans or bright red pans. And you just see them come back in and they're just so industrious and just, they work together in such a beautiful way.
That's so
I think
cool.
There's, a lot of wisdom to be learned from the hive.
Yeah.
For sure.
How long ago was it that you felt like you were cured from? I mean, is that what you would call it? Is cured from Lyme disease, or do you still have to continue to
managing
to manage it? Or yeah, I'm just not very.
So I don't have to manage. Doctors say that there's no cure for late stage Lyme disease. However, I have never had any type of test come back positive for Lyme, not even for one band. So the way that Lyme tests go is that they look at these bands and you might actually be told that you don't have a positive test because you only have one or two bands, and that, creates some controversy. With how many bands that I had when I was at my sickest, those antibodies you're supposed to continue to have the rest of your life, I have never shown them again.
Really?
So I consider myself cured because of that and because I'm completely symptom free. Also, one of my first symptoms was getting melanoma cancer. So one of the things that Lyme does is that it really, really decreases your immune system. So one of my first symptoms was that I, from a healthy, active person, ended up spotting a mole, went into my doctor, had it checked. They're like, that's nothing. That's a little freckle. I just had a weird feeling. And I was like, can you just take a biopsy? They did. It came back as the most aggressive melanoma there is. They said, so aggressive, you could have easily missed it. We almost missed it. 2 months later, you would have been in chemo. So
wow.
I then ended up having three more melanomas after that, and then cervical cancer. As I was starting to have these really, really weird symptoms, like passing out uncontrollably. But at the time, I was traveling between London and New York, and I was always jet lagged. And so I'd be making eggs in the morning and pass out. And my boyfriend at the time would be like, that's weird, call the ambulance. And then they'd be like, you're fine. So I didn't realize that passing out controllably was a form of postural orthostatic syndrome it's a comorbidity with Lyme disease. So that was one of my issues. I started getting really, really bad migraines that were so severe that I go blind. But, I roller coastered in and out of these symptoms. So when the cancers came, I just thought, well, I'm just working too much. I'm too stressed. But I was way too young. And then when I finally got this again, so all these started after a first tick bite. And then when I for about 2 years. And then I got bit again. When I got bit again, I was still functional. I was running a magazine in New York. I was really active. I played tennis that day, woke up the next morning with a tick bite, saw the bullseye. At that point, I'd become much more aware of Lyme disease. And I was already suspicious I probably had a mild form of it anyway. And so I ran to the doctor, got put on antibiotics, never went back to my office, never got out of bed for basically 2 more years, because when I took the antibiotics, I already had raging Lyme disease. I just didn't know it. It had never been caught. So when I took the antibiotics in, I was so sick that it wasn't the second tick bite. It was the antibiotics were basically causing massive toxic overload because of the fact that I already had raging Lyme disease that every single doctor missed. From the minute that I had one more melanoma case and one more case of cervical cancer, always caught early. And why I was treating Lyme disease with all the other modalities. And from the moment that I started bee venom therapy, I've had not a single occurrence of either.
Wow. And so how long ago was that sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. How long ago was that that you consider yourself cured?
Oh, so a solid 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That is so insane.
So I don't live in an endemic area. I mean, there's still, Lyme is everywhere. Lyme is in every country, every state in America. However, if I was still living back east, where there's, some areas in New Jersey and Maine and New York, where literally they found 90% of the ticks have some sort of infectious disease, would I continue singing? Probably. In Sonoma, where it's dry, where there's, only about 20 to 30% of ticks have an infectious disease, and I don't spend a lot of time like walking through long grass, would I do any maintenance? No. But for members of the Heal Hive that, live in endemic areas, I say once you feel like you're done and set, then I would at least during, tick season, high season, continue singing. And I recommend that for everyone. If I may be so bold to go into telomere length, I don't know if you ladies have ever spoken about that on the pod, but telomere length is basically a way for scientists to figure out how old we are.
I was going to say, I don't even know what that is. We're not that smart.
We're born with DNA. Our DNA, in order to replenish ourselves, becomes copies of the original DNA, like a Xerox machine. As those copies get copied, like any Xerox that gets copied of a copy of a copy, it becomes, in telomere length, the DNA strands become shorter and shorter. They can measure how much we're aging by how long our telomere length is. Radiation, exposure to stress, bad diets, not exercising, all these type of things can shorten telomere length. So I believe it was Taiwanese did a study on beekeepers and their telomere length. What was so fascinating is they found that they had twice the length of the normal populace. So that meant that they are actually aging twice as slow. Half as slow as everyone else. And on top of that,
I know. Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna get a beehive. I'm just gonna start stinging myself
I will become
factor.
A beekeeper to make
to
sure
keep me alive.
I can keep you alive.
I appreciate that. That's insane.
And then they found out that they then started talking to beekeepers that also ingested the honey, the propolis, which is a resin that the bees make to protect their hive from like viruses and fungi, and bee pollen and royal jelly. And they found out that the beekeepers that both ate and ingested the whole hive and used the whole hive plus got stung by bees had 3 times the telomere length.
Wow.
Right?
Whoa.
So looks like we're booking a trip to Sonoma. How often do we need to come up there?
I'm 20 years older than her, so she's just trying to keep me around.
Listen, we've had conversations, Brooke, about this is kind of really, really creepy, but this is a real deep dive view into our who we are. About,
the way our minds work.
Basically, having to taxidermy her.
Yeah, she's going to taxidermy me.
So I can, we could keep doing the podcast, and I could just have her here.
You're gonna be like a ventriloquist.
No, see all these buttons. We'll just record some of your sayings. I'll pre-record you.
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay.
Now we don't need to. We're just gonna do some bee stuff.
I know. That's crazy.
Yeah, I say bee singing is but much better than being taxidermied.
Probably, probably.
I mean, I would.
If I can gain, enjoy that, gain a few extra years out of you,
that's what you're gonna do.
I won't taxidermy you.
So, gosh, that's
how often would you say someone would want to be? I guess okay,
stinging themselves?
Just like for health reasons. Maybe not for Lyme disease, but if you were going to do it for just like an overall health, and then also, I guess, ingesting things like the entire hive.
Well, you probably wouldn't just suggest people to just go out and do it, right? What I liked a lot about when I watched the show is that you made sure that people, and you can probably talk about a little bit more about what you do when you travel and do all that. But I really loved that you make sure that people are under a doctor's care. And all of that, because obviously you don't know if you're allergic to bee venom or whatever. And I think that that's really responsible. And I like seeing when people have, whatever you called it.
Lyme disease?
No, the modality,
holistic
modality. Thank you.
I was like, sorry, I told you I'm not that smart.
But I like that when people kind of go down that just to ignore science completely or to just encourage that without wanting people to be under a doctor's care seems irresponsible to me. So I love that you guys do that.
Oh, first of all, so that we can fully make sure that the members of the heel hive are truly progressing. You can't do that with guessing. You have to do that with testing. And I just think that one of the biggest problems in America is just there's not comprehensive testing, and doctors are not really taught how to comprehensively test unless you have the means to invest tens of thousands of dollars in these concierge integrative doctors. And really, you know, it's at our fingertips, the ability to test, you know, for autoimmune diseases and vitamin deficiencies and, you know, infectious diseases that can really play a part in autoimmunity. So many people don't even realize they have celiac disease, which is causing their hypothyroidism or their migraines or their psoriasis, et cetera, because they were never properly tested. So we employ a leading Lyme doctor. She's actually Justin Bieber's doctor. So if anyone saw that documentary, she's on there, Dr. Erica Lehman, and she is also a leading Lyme specialist. And so she does all of our testing. It's so important that our members stay safe. This is a modality in which we are teaching them. So we don't do the retreats anymore in person. We had already way after that Netflix documentary Unwell was shot, we had already stopped doing it because we had so many people come to us wanting to start with a heel hive that said, I'm bedridden. This is so unfair. You know, I need this most of all. I can't get out of bed, or I'm in Norway, or I'm in Brazil. Like, how do I do this? So way before the pandemic, I had already decided to completely turn into an online educational platform. So I was a bit of ahead of the game before January 2020.
You knew something we didn't.
So we're completely online now. And, you know, we do comprehensive medical testing to make sure that people are not, one, have, you know, horrible bee allergies, but two, a lot of people think that they have a bee allergy, but they just didn't realize they were living in high mold environments, or they had digestive disorders that might have raised histamine in their blood. They need to get under control. So we really make sure that there's no roadblock for, you know, in the journey, because it's not an easy journey. When you're empowering yourself to take health into your own hands, you know, like anything, like getting fit, like working out, it requires accountability every single day. And that's not easy. We're not really taught that in schools, right? To be accountable and to show up for ourselves. So it's really creating a mindset of empowering these individuals to take healing into their own hands. And also, you know, depending on how sick they've been, it can take 2 or 3 years of constant stinging. And diligence is something that we have to teach. And it's helped when you have comprehensive medical testing through CDC recognized labs, not like fancy boutique labs that you're like, what is this? I'm paying out of the pocket, but that insurance pays for, and you're like, yep, this is what's happening with me, and I have a roadmap. So I try and make everything very prescriptive and very simple, because people don't need to be, you know, guessing how long or where am I or is this really working. Most people, luckily, fortunately, feel a lot better once we prep them for success and they begin. And that is a process of comprehensive testing, and then about 3 months of training with a psychologist, a trauma supervisor, someone who's a trauma expert. You don't come into sickness or any type of illness just perfectly, you know, as a perfectly formed human. We all come with traumas. And then the trauma of the PTSD of chronic illness also plays a huge part in people being roadblocked from having success in any type of modality. So we handle that. We bring in a nutritionist. We make sure that they understand diet and really eating right and circadian rhythm and like getting vitamin D, all of these basics that you're like, yeah, I know about that, or you've read about it, or you've seen on an Instagram post. But it has to be put together in a really prescriptive, easy to follow, step-by-step way. And so that's what we do. And that's really the secret to our sauce.
Honestly, I feel like you and I, aside from the fact that we don't have Lyme disease, could benefit from just taking that course.
I know. It's true. I'm like, oh, there's like a psychological review, all that stuff. Okay, yeah.
So if someone's signing up or I guess joining and they're, you know, living somewhere different, you know, international or whatever, when it comes to them needing to maybe locate like a beekeeper or, you know, for the actual medicine, is that something that you guys in different areas, you've already kind of located areas or where you know where you can send them? Or,
well, luckily beekeepers are in nearly every place around the world, even the most remote locations, there's bees. You know, I always say to people, my favorite thing about choosing this modality is the fact that, you know, barring really, really cold weather, it's at your fingertips wherever you are. So when I was still healing, I was invited to go to a wedding and I was gone in Europe for 3 weeks. You know, before I used to literally carry around a suitcase of IV bags and supplements. Not a small one, not a little wheelie on that you bring on board, like a large suitcase of medicine. I got to go to Europe about, you know, a year and a half into my treatment, with just a pair of tweezers and my EpiPen. And that's all I had to bring with me. And we're in Italy, Amalfi Coast. And I'm just like, oh shit, forgot to sting. You know?
You're just out catching bees.
Literally go to like a lavender bush, rosemary bush, and just grab them. And then people would stop. The Italians would be like, oh, what's going on? And I tell them, they're like, oh yeah, my grandmother did that. The most amazing thing about traveling through Europe and doing bee stinging while you're traveling and just like stopping by the side of the road is how many Europeans are like, oh yeah, my grandmother used to do that. My grandpa used to do that for his like joints. So it is a modality that actually, if you speak to people outside of America, not everyone thinks it's as weird as we do here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is so cool.
And then you see, it's so funny because you see so many people trying to avoid being stung.
Being stinged.
Yeah.
Well, people mistake wasps for bees all the time. Mm-hmm. When you are a beekeeper, it's really hard, even when you're beekeeping, to see the difference between a wasp and a bee. They almost look alike. The difference is if there's something that's surrounding you while you're eating, that's dive-bombing you during a picnic, that's a wasp. Bees want nothing to do with you. Surprises most of our members find when they start stinging is when they begin, they can't get the bee to sting them. They're literally like bringing the bee to their skin and the bee is like, nope, would like a flower, please.
Right.
It's like, wasps are just vicious and bees just, you know, they're not haters. They just want to pollinate.
So I probably got stung right by my vagina by a wasp.
Probably. Most likely.
That happened. We were eating burritos.
So what happens when you wear short shorts, man.
That wasp dive bombed into my vagina.
I mean, not inside.
No, right next to it, though.
Yeah.
I think I still might have a mark right here. We were standing there and there was, you know. I wasn't eating yet. Remember, I was on the phone.
Yeah.
And I was just standing there and I didn't really notice it like swarming around me or anything. But I had seen one and then I felt this little pinch and I was like, oh. And it just got bright red and burned like a mother. Yeah. And I thought it was a bee, but it was probably a wasp.
I almost got your vagina.
Usually.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Don't blame me.
I love that you just, the idea of knowing that if it's something that is dive bombing your food or swarming around you, you can call it a wasp.
Yeah. We call them yellow jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meat. You guys were calling them meat bees.
Well, those are meat bees.
Yeah, they're calling them.
Those are definitely wasps.
Yeah, meat bees.
Meat. Oh, yeah. Man.
Bees do not. They like honey. They like sweet things.
Yeah, I didn't start calling them meat bees. I think it was a Tommy.
Oh.
I was somewhere where they were everywhere and they're like, oh, those are meat bees. Now they're just called meat bees.
I kept telling her, I was like, no, it's a yellow jacket.
Now it's a meat bee. So much so that Daniel, so for my birthday, we did a little girls glamping trip, and a friend of ours, Natalie, and her husband, Sam, have been like putting together on their property this glamping property. It's awesome. And a lot of wasps.
A lot of them.
There.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, she kept bringing out these beautiful charcuterie platters with tons of meat and cheese and all this stuff, and it would just...
Oh man, so many of them. But like Daniel, our friend, they just did they had a sausage party, and they ate a lot of sausages, but it was a boys' trip, same location. And I saw DJ at the gym, and he was like, man, but like, what do you do about those meat bees though? And I was like, beats me.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You don't. Yeah.
You just don't
have any meat around it.
You don't eat.
You go vegan.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I feel like they'd still
don't eat meat.
I feel like they'd still come in for something.
Yeah.
They're desperate.
Probably.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
So where do you typically have, where would people typically sting themselves?
Oh yeah.
Does it matter?
We start on the back, lower back specifically. And we use the superhighway of nerves along the spine. And, you know, it's a slow process of over time, creating just a, you know, not ensuring that you're not too sensitive and that you build up an endurance to the bee stings. And remember, because they are proven antibacterial agents, that, you know, Lyme Borrelia is a bacteria. So the more that you sting, the more that there'll be what's called die-off. When bacteria die off, they release all these toxins into the body. They create really, really awful symptoms called a Herpes reaction, and it can even lead to seizures. So we want to, you know, go low and slow and just make it a really pleasant experience. And for everyone that learns through me, that I really, really make sure that they're prepped for success, that they're on the right diet, that they've already lowered inflammation, that they've gotten themselves into a really, really good headspace, that they're doing daily movement, daily meditation, so that when they start, it's not, you know, starting from 0 to 100. They're just already set up. Inflammation's already low. They're already supporting their body. And really, there should be no kind of blowback or roadblock from there. And you should just be able to increase the amount of stings. And we always stay below 10, but, you know, I healed with about 6 to 8. So it really, I say, listen to your body. And that's the cool thing about the modality, is you can really go at your own pace. You can't go on your own pace with antibiotics because there's antibacterial resistance. With bee venom, it has this molecule called melatonin. Melatonin, basically, there's a bacteria doesn't have a resistance to it. It just doesn't recognize it as an invader. And what it does is that it pokes these microscopic holes into the bacterial envelope, the cell of the bacteria, and it basically nukes them from the inside, because the inside of the bacteria cells just basically leak out, and it doesn't have the ability to mount this defense. So the cool thing is that the bacteria then signal, oh, we're dying. And so whatever has burrowed into your bone, into your lymph, which happens with Lyme disease, it's like a spiral-shaped bacteria. So it literally burrows into bone and lymph and brain. It basically signals, hey, we need more in the bloodstream. It comes out. So that's why it's such a long process, because you basically want to osmotically, in a way, get at this, you know, at what is entering the bloodstream that is been stuck in the body. And that is why it works to eradicate, not actually just throw you into a Band-Aid moment of remission, right, like antibiotics.
How often do you sting? How often would you, like you said, you said
8 to 10 or 6 to 8. I wasn't sure what that meant.
Oh, so, you know, in the beginning, you sting about every other day, sometimes take a 2-day break just to, you know, have a weekend off.
Yeah.
It depends on one sensitivity and the die-off reaction that happens with the how much Lyme bacteria they have. And also people get bit by ticks that also have viruses, or they come to getting bit by a tick when they already were exposed to mononucleosis. So they'll have things like reactivated herpes, reactivated EBV. So, you know, we have clients all the time that have multiple co-infections from tick-borne illnesses, not just Lyme, but things like malarial babesiosis, parasitical infection, tick-borne relapsing fever, et cetera, et cetera. Then reactivated EBV, and then reactivated herpes, HPV. I mean, it's just like some people are just this laundry list of issues. They're going to have to go much lower than someone who happened to get bit and their first, you know, they've learned about this, they realize antibiotics are proven not to work late stage. And they're like, that's my first place I'm going to go is bee venom, and I'm not going to mess with all of this. So, you know, they have a very different kind of pace than someone who has been sick for 10 years and has multiple co-infections. But overall, it's about 3 times a week with every other day kind of detoxing and making sure to support the body. And then you work up to about 10 stings, but you can stay between like that 6 to 10 stings. And, you know, if you think about it, by the end of the week, it takes about 5 minutes, so 3 days, so 15 minutes of work a week, and then that's all. That's it. I mean, taking pills, I mean, there's, as you saw from the documentary, you know, Carrie Chulo, she was literally on 9 different prescriptions and 50 different supplements, plus had to, like, sleep on ice packs. Yeah. She's now off all prescriptions for the first time since she was 13. She doesn't sleep with an ice pack. She's getting ready to move cross country in with her boyfriend, leave her house for the first time.
Oh, this is the girl that was on it. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy to hear that. I love that. I'm like, we got the inside scoop on the follow up.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Awesome. She's 50 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was the one that was learning to sting herself, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing, oh my gosh, so that is so cool.
That is so cool.
If you want to, you can find her at Botanical Bunny on Instagram, but you'll see she does not even look like the same person.
Wow.
Now we're gonna have to look.
I know. I have to look her up.
I'm going
to
look her up.
I love that.
Botanical Bunny.
Botanical Bunny. Well, don't do it right now. What were you going to ask her?
Okay, fine.
We get sidetracked a lot.
I was going to ask you this. So you had said, in like a one session of someone like stinging themselves, is it one sting?
You work up to
so 10. When you said you were doing like 6,
you're talking about a week,
but that's a day. Like every
like a moment.
So okay.
And then so for
you could end up doing 30 bee stings a week. Certain people will. Other people will maintain at literally 5 seconds for those 3 days. So they'll maybe get 15 seconds of venom in the beginning. Depends on their sensitivity. If that clarifies. So
yeah. You
really, it takes time to work up, and, you know, we do things really carefully. We don't want this Herxheimer reaction I talked to you guys about is pretty serious. Yeah. I had seizures from it myself. You don't want to overly kill off too much bacteria for your liver and your kidneys to process.
You really have to think like this isn't something that I'm going to fix today or tomorrow. You got to play the long game.
And that's why it would be so important to do something like through your group that is overseeing that. You don't want somebody to just hear about it and be like, I'm just going to start stinging myself.
Well, again, it's accountability, having community and just not feeling alone with it, that, you know, it's hard. We're taught within the medical system, you feel sick, you go to your doctor, they give you a prescription, and you never question why you're taking it, the side effects, and you just go, okay. We're saying question everything, question of us. We're happy to back up everything we tell you to do. You are now empowered. You are now accountable. You now have to, you know, dive in and listen to your body and start to really have that relationship with your body that I think we're so disengaged from in America today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taught to diet or we're taught to work out, but we're never taught to actually have that mind-body connection become strengthened. And right now with the Heal Hive, what we're doing is we're saying, you've got to love your body in order to heal it. You got to listen to your body and know when too much is too much. And again, because it's not antibiotics, because you can go slow, you are given that ability to basically, you know, tune in and listen to what your body needs. And so we're teaching people how to, you know, get in touch with themselves in a way.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I know.
Last question. How long were you consistently treating yourself, I guess?
I stung for a solid 2.5 years.
Okay. So about 2.5 years, and then now you haven't had to at all for 3 years?
No, 3 years.
Yes. Okay.
I think myself to show people, to demonstrate it. I think myself if I start to feel like I'm getting the flu or a cold or about to jump on a plane, you know, sting myself. I have a beehive in my backyard, so I use it. I got a really bad spider bite that gave me a staph infection.
Oof.
So I used it instead of going on antibiotics to get at the staph infection.
Stop it. Did you
we
sting
have to,
it?
We have
where
to.
Did you sting it? Did you sting it like right next to the, like, what do you know?
Yeah, so I got this horrible spider bite. It went into staph. You know, my husband, it was like 11 o'clock at night last month, and he was just like, we got to take you to the hospital. It's growing up your leg. And I was like, babe, give me a flashlight.
I got the bees. She's out there with her tweezers.
It. Woke up the next morning. It was nearly gone. I documented the whole thing. There's pictures of it. And it's really like having a medicine cabinet in your backyard.
We need bees.
I know, but I feel like there's somebody using Roundup somewhere near.
I had a zit on my forehead, and I put my head on a floor at a gym, and I got staph on my forehead.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause you know, bacteria got in through a zit, and that sucked.
Yeah. It was like literally growing bigger and bigger and bigger.
Did.
And I was like, dude, you need to
and
go
I
to the doctor.
And I finally went to the doctor cause for a while I didn't know what it was.
That's
I remember
not normal. Like you had a gunshot wound
the
in your
next,
forehead.
There's photos of it. The next morning, I remember I was showering, like after I was at the gym the day before, I was showering and I was like washing my face. And I was like, oh, why is my forehead kind of burning? And I was like, yeah. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck? What is that? And I just like let it go. And then finally Gina was like, dude,
you got to take care of that.
You got to get
right.
That looked at. And I was like, I don't know what it is.
I just think it's about zit. And I'm like, yeah, it's growing though.
It grew.
I don't think zits grow.
And the thing about that is it's like you go and they're like, here, put this cream on it. And it really is like, it just needs to like, you know, depending on how bad it is, run its course. So we need bees.
I know. So
I really think everyone needs bees.
Yeah.
Okay. When I find a new house.
Oh, for sure. We're raising bees. Well, so how can everybody find your,
yes.
like get, you know, I'm sure there's like so many people I've known people before that have thought they had Lyme disease, but then they got a negative result, but then they found out that they did have it. And cause I think, is that pretty common to get a negative result when you have it?
Most doctors don't understand follow-up that even with the negative result, it's usually from the first step of the testing called ELISA, which doesn't have great high sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to normally go out of pocket to pay for more highly sensitive tests. Most doctors are not educated on that. So people will go years without understanding and they'll have like mounting autoimmune issues and fatigue issues. And they'll be told they have chronic fatigue or mounting food allergies, Hashimoto's, et cetera, et cetera, you know, endometriosis. Really, you know, the root cause is usually many times a tick bite or reactivated EBV from that tick bite that causes chronic fatigue. So I always recommend to people like seek out LymeDisease.org, ILLA, learn about how endemic it is, how, you know, the CDC, using CDC data, they estimate 1.9 million people in America have late stage Lyme disease right now in 2020. 1.9.
Wow.
The amount of people that know it is probably about 200,000.
I was just going to say how many people actually know it. That is terrifying.
It's insanely terrifying. They also, the CDC says that the failure rate of treatment with antibiotics, even if you find it in early stage, is up to 20 to 30%.
Wow.
So that is where they're getting the data from, is that it's just, even if you catch it early, many times it just doesn't work.
Right.
These people are left with just having no idea, having no hope, and they go on massive doses of antibiotics that really, if it's late stage, just cause it to burrow deeper into the body. And yes, you might have a temporary lessening of symptoms, but then 6 months later, you get really stressed out or you get a cold and it's back, and it's just this roller coaster. And then it causes more autoimmune issues, et cetera, et cetera. And with men, they don't have estrogen. most men. So they don't, there's a men nowadays. They don't have the same kind of symptomology that women have. So I don't know if you guys have heard, like, why don't no men have Lyme disease? Like, very few. I mean, Justin Bieber does, but like, it just seems to be more of a female disease. Not really. It's because the estrogen basically raises histamines and then, you know.
So you get more symptoms.
But men, because they don't have estrogen, many times they won't recognize the kind of achy joints and they'll let it go. And they're the ones that get Lewy body dementia. They've been proving that Alzheimer's, Lewy body dementia, and certain types of dementia can be directly linked to Lyme disease.
Wow.
So a lot of the famous baseball player who just passed from the Mets baseball player who passed, he had both Lyme disease that then turned into Lewy body dementia. So we see this all the time that it's not something you want to let go. It's something you want to be aggressive about getting the right testing. And it's always about going to the right Lyme doctor. And if anyone wants to learn more, we always talk about, you know, Lyme prevention, how to prevent yourself from getting tick bites, you know, what to spray yourself with, how to check for ticks. And also everyone listening, if you do get bit by a tick, do not throw it out. Do not burn it. Tweeze it out, put it into a Ziploc, send it to tickreport.com or tickcheck.com because you want to know exactly what is in that tick. You get your results back in 72 hours. Your doctor might just say, oh, sure, that's a bullseye. Let's treat you for Lyme disease. That tick could have parasitical infections. It could have malarial infections, right? Viral infections. You want to know exactly what's in that tick.
Yeah. So
everyone listening, please share widely. Never destroy your tick. Always save it. Send it away. That's like the best piece of advice I could give to any layperson listening. And ticks are everywhere. Every state, everywhere you go, there are ticks you should always check. And they can be as small as a poppy seed. So should you be one of those unfortunate ones that think you have Lyme or, you know, have had Lyme and don't know how to, you know, go about actually getting rid of it, you can go to our website, thehealhive.com. That is T-H-E-H-E-A-L-H-I-V-E, healhive.com, and you can find all the information. We do have a course coming up. It starts October 5th. We're almost fully sold out, but if anyone listened to that before then, know that we are still open. And if you two ladies want to just explore it and learn more, then I would love to gift that to you and have you guys come on board and just check it out. So know that
I am so interested.
I know, me too.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm so into it.
That, and we're definitely coming to Sonoma.
Yeah. So can people come and visit it or?
Visit the Hive?
Yeah. You're like, we're not asking for your address so that a bunch of people just show up. So what's your address, Brooke? We're going to show up.
I think what she's asking is, since you guys aren't doing, you're not hosting the retreats anymore. Do you have like a storefront? Like, do people come, like, can they go to the Heal Hive or?
Not during the pandemic, but we hope the pandemic is over, we'll be able to, you know, function more in, you know, do some sort of tour around the big cities, Europe, etc., you know, once it's safe again. But who knows when that's going to be. And so for now, we are fully virtually online. But we do help our members figure out how to reach out to beekeepers, how to find beekeepers, you know, overseas. But again, beekeepers are usually a really friendly bunch and they love talking bees, clearly.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. So,
I love it. Bee nerds.
Dude, let's be bee nerds.
This is the thing. We're going to act like we're going to do this. And then we're not going to know what the hell we're doing.
We're going to take the course.
Okay. All right.
We're going to know because we're going to, Brooke's going to teach us. And right. We're going to give you so many years. You're going to gain so many years on your life.
So many years. Wait, I just want to know, has anyone ever been like hysterical about stinging themselves?
We've had some people that have had, you know, a lot of trauma, a lot of failure in terms of their modality. So they come starting fearful and just, you know, in a place that, you know, just creates a lot of fear to begin with. But again, we have this structure there to help people. I would say probably the most extreme reaction we ever had was the one captured on the Netflix documentary, which was Carrie's, who was just so overwhelmed by it.
Right.
Because she really felt that she was considering suicide right before the show.
So she
was at the place of saying, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to you know, I don't want to live any longer. Yeah. So for her, she was just, it was so full of just like, this has to work and the nervousness with it. Now she's just like, she just posted today on her Instagram, like beautiful shot of her AP things. You know, she's just rocking.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, so great.
Wait, what was her thing again?
Botanical
bunny?
Botanical bunny.
I'm going to go. I'm so excited. I love hearing that. It's so cool.
Some embroidery of bees and
flowers. I remember seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
On the episode.
I know. I feel like I'm starstruck right now. I'm like, look, it's Brooke.
Oh no, I see
the bee thing.
No, I see her.
I know.
The best part, well, Brooke, is we were watching.
We'll have an awesome day in wine country.
Yes.
More than I love to take people around, and pretty much, you know, all the wineries have hives, so it's a good place to, you know, day drink and.
I mean, drinking and bees, perfect. Perfect. I'm sold.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For making time to do this. We've been looking forward to it from the moment that you messaged me back.
I know. We were like sitting there and I go, messenger.
And I was like, hey, do you think I can maybe get on our podcast?
And I was like, oh my God, do it.
I heard.
Yeah, it was so exciting. Anyway, thank you so much.
Yeah, where can all the listeners find you and the Heal Hive on like, social platforms?
So I'm Everyday Expert on Instagram, and we're the Heal Hive on Instagram. So it's that simple. And so thank you, ladies. It's such a pleasure. I feel like we have to make this trip up to Sonoma.
Oh, no, we're doing it.
Oh, no, we're doing it.
We're doing
it. You're not going to be able to get rid of us now. You're going to be like,
as soon as I find a house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about Brooke's to be moving. Homeless.
Yeah, she's about to be homeless.
As soon as I find a home, and figure that out. We're coming up. We'll drive the bus.
Okay.
We'll drive my VW bus.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to it.
Wine and bees. Yeah. Thank you so much. And we will stay in touch with you.
Yeah. So don't ignore us when we keep calling you.
I really do.
We're very clingy.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Take care,
Brooke.
Bye.
Dude.
Oh, that's so cool.
So cool.
And I feel like there's so many people that don't, you know, a doctor does tell you like, oh, you have this, take this, or you have this, take this. And it just shows you that if you have so many different things going on.
Well, and how terrifying is that just in general? Because obviously, if you have, maybe you have, you wouldn't even think or consider the fact that you might have Lyme disease.
Right.
Right. And that right there can give you so many different symptoms.
Right.
That can seem so unrelated.
Right. Exactly. That's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
That you go because you have this one symptom. You're like, well, you don't really think about, oh, I have Lyme disease. So then you go and get that one thing treated. And if that's what you're going to have treated and you don't have any reason to be like, I think I might have Lyme disease.
Right.
Like the doctor's not going to be like, you probably have Lyme disease.
Yeah, you probably have it. Well, what I thought was so cool is that she actually was smart enough, because so many of us wouldn't be, myself included, to recognize, okay, these few things are happening. There must be something else going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed,
because
she
I would have been like, okay,
she got bit by a tick.
Right.
You ever been bit by a tick?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah. At least two or three times in my life.
I have not.
Yeah. No, for sure. I had a tick one time. I remember really specifically, I had a tick that had gone into the back of my neck. And we had gone on a family vacation. And what's so funny is that I didn't know it was a tick.
Yeah.
What happened is when it went into my neck, it took some hair with it.
Uh-huh.
So when I would brush my hair in the morning, there was a tangle.
Every time.
And I didn't tell my mom because I didn't want her to brush it out. So I finally, it was about 3 days later, and I went up to my mom and I said, I have this thing that's hurting. Cause then it started hurting.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it was a couple of days. I could be exaggerating. I think I was really young, like
and
six.
And you hadn't like felt the butt?
No, I didn't feel it. I was a kid. So I'm just, you know, okay. Brushing my own hair, you know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of at the nape of my neck, but it didn't hurt at the site.
Okay.
So I just kept trying to brush my hair and I kept feeling this thing. So I went up to her and I said, Mom, I have, because then it started to hurt.
Yeah.
And I didn't even put it together because I was probably six or seven. And she looked and it was a big, I mean, that thing had just been feeding on me, big old fat one. She like looks and I just remember being like, ah! Like it was disgusting. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a tick when it's full.
It's only in photos because
no, it's disgusting.
I've had to pull a couple off Maggie.
Uh-huh.
They've never been to a point where they're really big though.
Yeah.
But I remember me trying to like look up ways to remove them.
Mm-hmm.
You see some gnarly, disgusting photos of ticks.
It was big. I would say I might be over exaggerating.
Stop.
No, I'm not kidding. It was like a big lump. So at the time, and I don't know if this is true, so don't do this if, you know, actually go to the sites that Brooke told you to go to figure out how to deal with the ticks. But the idea was that you would light a match.
Yeah, and touch the
butt.
And
then burn its butt.
And it would
withdraw its head. Or if it was burrowed in there, you're supposed to turn it, I think, counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I watched a video one time. A guy with, he had German shepherds, and just where they live, they would get ticks all the time. And so I had watched a video on YouTube of like, that's what he would do. He would light a match and then like put it out. But then like the heat would touch the butt and it would make the tick basically.
Right. Cause if you just pull it off, the head can get stuck in there.
And infected and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah,
so
no, it was disgusting. So yes, I've been bit. Who knows? I mean, maybe my anxiety comes from, I don't know. Just kidding. I'm thinking of everything I can buy. Maybe I'm getting some weight gain in my 50s because of it.
Because of it?
Because I got bit by a tick when I was 6.
Maybe because you're tired a lot.
Maybe I'm an alcoholic because of...
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Alcoholic.
No, I'm not making light of this, by the way. Just making light of myself. But yeah, so if... good information.
Yeah.
If you think that, you know, you've got...
Honestly, it's so interesting.
Shit going on, or you got a family member or whatever,
so
definitely check out...
Great information about... I just feel like you should check it out.
Why not?
You should just check it out. It's just going to, for me, I feel like I don't have Lyme disease. From what I know, I've never been bit by a tick. But knowing that is empowering.
Right.
Like just the little information that she even gave us, and like the studies and the things that are being, you know, it's being tested
the
with.
The other things that it's helping with.
Is incredible.
Right.
And so many of the things that she talked about, like breast cancer. That runs in my family.
My mom just finished all of her chemo.
Yeah. My grandma's twins, my aunt, my great aunt, she had breast cancer. My mom, underwent some different, like, long story short, if I can't take birth control, like, oral,
right, estrogen.
Because I already produced, and same with my mom, I produce so much estrogen anyways, that by putting more in my body, I'm basically setting myself up for,
right,
you know, some like female cancers. And that's, I mean, just that right there, and knowing what they're doing with bee venom for breast cancer.
But
it's just so much good information.
I do think that it's very important so that people don't just hear something like this and go, well, forget it. I'm not going to talk to my doctor. I'm just going to go start, you know, bee stinging myself.
No.
No, I'm not saying you're saying that. But I do think that it is really important, because you do hear a lot of times when there is something that is, you know, more holistic modality. And that's what I loved, like I said earlier, about how, you know, responsible they're being with that is they're not saying, don't go to your doctor, only do this. You know, I mean, you know, you can pay, you know, $100,000 and, you know, we're going to sell you snake oil and fix this. Then that's not what this is. And I think that that's what's really important, is that it just seems like they're doing it responsibly and putting it out there, and, you know, it's legit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I think that all of you should at least just check it out, you know, read some of the stuff from their website, is for me, when you learn about things that are being studied that, you know, kind of have, like Brooke talked about, I mean, just with like the pharmaceutical, like big pharma here, you know, like, so a lot of like holistic type stuff that you can't really control, like bees, right? You wouldn't really hear about it unless you were someone who was like her, like in a desperate situation where nothing else is working.
Right.
And I feel like the information that you can gain and the knowledge, even if it's not going to, you don't directly need that help for you specifically, but a lot of people, like she said, are going through things that they don't even realize they have Lyme. They're not even diagnosed. Yeah. So just, you know, you potentially could help a lot of people just by taking the time to educate yourself a little bit on this, which is really great.
All right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
God,
that was a good episode.
That was fun.
Oh, we got educated. You guys got educated.
Eric's sleeping.
I'm cramping. I know. I'm the fidgety one today.
I know. I was purposely trying not to fidget.
Oh, man.
I know. I had to think about it. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to
rate, review, subscribe. Five-star rating, five-star warning.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.